Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene, whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here is your host, David Swope.
Good morning. Saturday morning. That means it is once again time for the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 1017, the team. We got the Young Bucks in the studio this morning. I'm Spencer Hill, driver of the SCH Motorsports Grammy's Kitchen, number 7D7 non-wing sprint car out of Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Sitting in for David Swope this morning, we got RJ and Dan on the other side of the glass as well. Going to be a good morning, guys. A lot to talk about. Of course, NASCAR season is well underway. In fact, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be going over live to the track at Phoenix Raceway with our own John Haverland. Haven't checked in with John in, a couple months, it seems. But going to go over there and see what he's been up to and get all of the storylines from a very busy week, it seems, in the NASCAR world. But like I said, really big show going on this morning. RJ, kick it to you first, buddy. Really brisk morning, 31 degrees, man. It doesn't feel like spring's right around the corner, does it?
Man, but no, not really, man. It's still cold. I mean, it's still snowing in a good part of America. But, man, it warms up during the day, and that's when you know all the racing, all these amazing events are going on. So, man, all the car shows, Albuquerque Dragway's back. I mean, a lot of the local racing. It's that time of year, man. It's a beautiful to me.
It is, and, you know, you got me all jacked up because I'm looking at this Unser Racing Museum event calendar, and this thing's starting to fill up more and more every week. That makes me excited. That also means I need to get my butt in gear and get my car finished up so I can go sprint car racing in less than a month. It seems crazy to even say that. But, Dan, you got to be happy over there too, man. I heard baseball is going to be back.
Man, it's a great time to be a baseball fan. It's a great time to be a college basketball fan. This winter is looking up, turning into spring. Happy to have those baseball, the union and the MLB kind of, they made a deal. So we officially will have baseball this year. That's what it's all about. Go Royals.
And, man, that was kind of crazy to hear about all that baseball stuff because it made me wonder if there would ever be anything like that in the NASCAR world. Of course, we're starting to see some big names like Michael Jordan now owning a NASCAR team. He has a lot of experience with, you know, everything NBA. And to see some of the ideas that he's brought to NASCAR, one of the things that I saw him, and you might find this interesting, RJ, is he really wants to see the sport rely more on network dollars with TV dollars versus sponsorship dollars. I'm not sure exactly how they'd be able to lay that out, but I know that's basically how the NBA works, right?
Yeah, and I could see the one thing, I don't think that is going to happen with NASCAR, just because how much they are putting into the sport to try to expand and try to change. I mean, with a new car and new races and new areas where they go out and do these big events, I really think baseball's stuck in their ways. The NBA always has problem with ownerships and players. I think having NASCAR, I don't think that's something that's hopefully in the future for us.
Yeah, definitely an interesting deal there. I like the ideas that he's bringing, though. It's always good to get new faces in the sport. Of course, we've seen that a few times this year just in the NASCAR Cup Series because we also have Pitbull now owning a team. I mean, at least co-owning it with Justin Marks with Team Trackhouse, but it's really inviting to see that many new faces in new places this year. But, RJ, let's get down to the bread and butter, buddy. The Unser Racing Museum event calendar, a lot coming up, and we'll kick it off with some straight-line stuff first.
Yeah, we always try to keep it local and being, you know, everything going on where last week was the season opener for a good amount of our local racetracks. So the first one we always talk about, Albuquerque Dragway, is going to have their Yearwood Performance Street to Strip, which is one of their big events where they're going to have the time trials, the grudge racing, and test and tune. It's going to be 2 days. They're going to have it on both Saturday and Sunday, so the 12th and the 13th at 11 a.m. So if you didn't go to the season opener last week, man, they're going to have so many great events. We have the calendar. We have everything that they posted. I'm actually throwing it up right now where this whole season, guess what? There's a few open weekends. They're probably going to do more events. So there's no excuse to not go out to Albuquerque Dragway.
And, of course, last week getting canceled due to weather. Really sad to see that over there for Albuquerque Dragway. Interesting enough, I wasn't at Albuquerque's drag strip, but I was at a drag strip, which was pretty unusual for me. I went down to Odessa, Texas last weekend, and I went down to Penwell Knights Raceway. In the middle of oil fields is the craziest thing I've ever seen. But they had some no-prep grudge racing.
Really?
And one of our good buddies, Jay Mosier, was down there. A couple other Albuquerque guys. George Plant was running his little Chevette down there. Unfortunately, neither of those two getting past the first round. Crazy Larry was down there in the Death Angel. And, of course, Chavo, too, doing a good job down there. But it was so cool for me to see that. That was the first no-prep event I've ever been to. And I believe we do have a Cash Days coming up at Albuquerque Dragway here in a couple months during the summertime. So looking forward to seeing how Albuquerque Dragway does pulling in some of those cars. But very unique. Normally, those cars sitting down on a prepped surface, everything just really straight line. And with that no-prep, it really reminded me of like a dry slick dirt track. It was just no grip. Everybody was kind of squirrely. Really fun to watch. Glad I had the opportunity to go. Hopefully I can make some more drag racing later on this year. And definitely at Albuquerque Dragway. Street to strip would be a good place to start that later on this afternoon. But let's go ahead and get on to some dirt track racing, buddy.
Yeah, so we always talk a little bit. We try to bring up some Sandia Speedway events. So their first event, which we'll talk a little more, but I mean, today is actually the Super Speedway, the Lantern Fest is actually today. So there's more events going on. We're going to, before the season opener, they're going to have the Albuquerque Super Lap Series, which has been, you know, pretty darn good. They've split out the practices, so that next practice is going to be March 27th. And then the true season opener for Sandia Speedway is going to be April 16th with the 360 Wing Sprints, X-Mods, Street Stocks, Cruisers, and the NMDA all going out there at 3:30 for Sandia Speedway. So there are going to be some racing out in dirt, and, hey, we try to support, like I said, everything local, my man.
If you like birds, planes, and wing sprint cars, Sandia Speedway, the place to be this year, as they have all wing sprint cars. If you want to see non-wing action, going to have to travel around the state just a little bit. One of the places to do that, though, Votto Speedway Park, they have a lot going on right now, RJ. They really got a big jump on the season.
Man, they had a great time at that military appreciation, the season opener that they had last week. And this week is actually the Winter Meltdown. Hopefully it's a little warmer down there in Votto. But it's the Winter Meltdown with the Ranchero Milagro Modifieds, the Hacienda Carpet and Tile B-Mods, the S&J Onimoto Stock Cars, and the Holsey Racing Legends are all going to be down there. With the pits race are going to be... The pits are going to open at 4 while the racing's at 7:30. Now, this is a Friday-Saturday event, so you got some results for me, my man?
Absolutely, yeah. We had, like you said, Legends, USRA Stock Cars, Modifieds, and B-Mods all in action last night. Kicked it off with a familiar face in a different place with the Legends, with Caleb Stelzig taking the win in the Joshua Jackson number 37 strong car in that Holsey Racing Legends division. Dave Smith finishing second with Zach Rodriguez rounding out the top three in that. Moving over to the USRA Stock Cars, Rob Mosley, big name out of Las Lunas, New Mexico. He took his M17 car to victory lane last night with Brian Bennett and Jonathan Burton rounding out the top three in that. Now over to the USRA Modified division, Rodney Sanders out of Happy, Texas, taking his 20 car into victory lane with Colin Hibden and Nick Rivera rounding out the top three in those. And finally, in the USRA BMON division, Jesse Haney out of Las Cruces, followed by Donovan Flores. He's been around for a long time, that number 07, finishing second. And Aza Flores in the 05 out of Las Cruces, rounding out the top three. Don't forget, we got another night of action, though, tonight down there at Votto Speedway Park. And one of the things that I'm super pumped up about is we have World of Outlaws coming there, RJ.
Sure, man. They are planning up. They are traveling. And those World of Outlaws events, I mean, that's the real deal. So that just shows how well Votto has been doing, man.
Absolutely. And if you want to catch that race at Votto Speedway Park for the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, you're going to want to get down there. It's a Tuesday show. A little bit different, guys. A little bit different with this Tuesday show. But Tuesday, March 29th, just a couple weeks away here, gates open at 5 p.m. Racing starts at 7:30. Plenty of time to get down after work and if you're living here in Albuquerque or Rio Rancho. But these are the big guys, the sport guys. 410 wing sprint cars, 10,000 to win. USRA modifieds also on the deck there. If you can't watch it live, make sure to go to dirtvision.com. Single day general admission, just $30. Pretty good deal there. You can go to www.vadospeedwaypark.com for more information on that. We just got two more on the dirt track side, and then we'll hit to break.
Yeah, man. So kind of a little quick event. I mean, where Alien Speedway, they had their season opener. They're only the third season opener. That was last week. They're going to take actually this weekend off, getting ready for March 19th. It's going to be an open practice to all classes. And then they really got everything kicked off at their April opening night, which is going to be the first weekend of April. So they've got some cool stuff rolling up in Alien. And then also with the Moriarty MX, we'll talk a little bit on two wheels. I mean, they had their award banquet and the season opener for the Lucky 13 race series last week. So they're taking this weekend off for the big events because round two of the Lucky 13 race series is going to be March 19th and 20th. It is the Loretta Lynn Southwest Area Qualifier, man. This is something that they're known for, one of the great races out there that a lot of people actually come out where they have camping in the facilities. People go out to find this Loretta Lynn event. So go out, support everything on two wheels for Moriarty MX.
And we're going to get Deanna on the show here in the next couple of weeks to talk more about that. On the other side of this, we're going to bring a new track onto the Unser Racing Museum event calendar, one of my favorites. Stay tuned to that, and we have a whole lot more coming up with the national news, as well as a preview of what's to come as the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Phoenix Raceway this weekend. Don't turn that dial. You're listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio.
101.7, The Team.
Hi, this is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Slope of the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio. 101.7, The Team.
With David Slope, the fastest radio host in the West.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
Good morning, and welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team, thank you for tuning in this morning. Of course, Spencer Hill, driver of the number 7D7 non-wing sprint car, filling in for David Swope this morning. David having some fun, as it was just Shelly's birthday the other day. So happy birthday to his wife, Shelly. Very cool to see him and gang able to go celebrate her. Of course, she does a lot behind the scenes to keep everything going, too. So quick shout-out to all that she has going on. But, RJ, before we went into break, I mentioned that we had a new track to add to the Unser Racing Museum event calendar. This one's near and dear to my heart. I've been working alongside them for many, many years. Tell us a little bit about what's going on down at Uranium Capital Speedway.
Yeah, so I just love that on Facebook, I mean, it was you that kind of mentioned it, and then other people were like, hey, there's a few other local tracks that you need to talk about on the Unser Racing Museum event calendar. So Uranium Capital Speedway, they're going to have some great events that goes all the way to October. So they're going to have a few a month and everything going up. I just love they have the directions, general admission, all the fun stuff that's right on the calendar, y'all. But pretty much April 23rd and 24th is going to be the weekend there, everything starts there, where they're going to have the test and tune for all classes on that was the weekend. So April 30th, they're going to have their amazing season opener with the micro sprints, A-mods, the hobby stocks, and street stocks going out there. So Uranium Capital, you are now on the Unser Racing event calendar.
Yeah, really appreciate you doing that, RJ. Of course, Uranium Capital Speedway, one of the oldest tracks in the state, actually. It's been open since 1969, and it's kind of different down there, too, because it's all volunteer-based. It's a nonprofit track, the only one that we have here in the state that's like that. And they really do everything that they can to give back to not only the drivers but the fans, too. General admission prices down there are just $10 for adults. Students are $7. Seniors and vets are always $6. And if you're 6 and under, kids get in free. And parking, always free down there. Very, very fun track and great people down there, too. Just about an hour, 15 minutes away from Albuquerque, if you can make that short drive. A lot of good racing, good times down there. Thank you for adding that on,
man,
RJ.
Being so close, I'm surprised I never talked about it before. But guess what? I mean, I started a new job, so guess what? On the weekends, man, I'm gonna go to some of these events, y'all. You're gonna see me a lot more on the racetrack for sure. Me and Spencer.
Chip, I'm a all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
That's how I survived my job, man.
Thank you, Dan. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to watch that movie later on tonight, too. So, RJ, a lot going on with Car Show World. Of course, spring is right around the corner. I said it doesn't really feel like it this morning. A brisk 31 degrees here at the studio in Rio Rancho. But car shows, nonetheless, are starting up right now, and we got a lot going on.
Heck yeah, man. No, we always try to start with the good local ones, of course, and we try to spread out all through Albuquerque. So, once again, if there are events that I am not finding, please let me know. I would love to have nothing more than actually cut some events because I have too many to talk about, which I might have to do right now. But no, right now, so March 12th today, we actually have three cool events that are going to be on for this weekend. The first one I'm going to talk about is the Daylight Savings Cruise for the 2022 season, where it's an annual Daylight Savings Cruise that will be held in Boreas once again, where it's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I would just love, they kind of want to make sure, hey, respect the spot, guys. No burnouts, no racing, no sideshow stunts. This is just going to be cruising. People go out, enjoy some amazing cars. Hopefully the weather's going to warm up a little bit there. But, hey, go out and support this awesome cruise. You're going to see so many awesome cars out there in Boreas, too. I mean, I just love even the poster. They have the old Studebakers and all these old kind of cars that only come out on these special events. So go out there and cruise your stuff.
Love that. Love the wordplay on that one. So what else we got going on with car shows there, yeah, RJ?
Well, just events in general. I mean, we've been trying to fill up this event calendar for a while, so I'll just do a quick shout-out once again. That Lantern Fest is one of these amazing events where, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're sold out, y'all, but a lot of people go out for s'mores, fire pits. There's going to be music, jumpers, concessions, face painting for the kids. This is all ages, great events that go out there where you're going to see thousands of our lanterns go up in the air, and it's a spectacle to see, y'all. Hopefully it's going to be a beautiful, clear night. You're going to see them for quite a while. So go out and try to support all these great events that Speedways really do hold.
You had me at face painting and princesses.
There
I'm not
going
to lie. That sold me right
there. I didn't
there.
Mention princesses. Princesses, man. No, they'll be out there, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I'm reading ahead of you.
Hey, you're ready.
Well, we got princesses, too, out there. Don't worry, guys.
There you go. No, there's some fun events for sure.
So let's go around the nation now. Some more of the national stuff. World of Outlaws at Thunderbolt Raceway, one of the more exciting tracks on the circuit.
Man, and everything that sounds up, I mean, that's weekend is, I mean, where they're going to be. That's going to be in California where they're going to have these sprint cars. And yours mentioned it. They're traveling. They're doing amazing, these cool events. And they're going to be in New Mexico soon, y'all. So just kind of support. Hey, World of Outlaws is one of these events that you cannot miss out on the dirt track.
Absolutely. And, of course, they ran last night, too, with a very, very good night going over there at Thunderbolt Raceway. Like I said, one of the more exciting races. Gio Selzy getting the win down there. In California, to Larry, one of the crazy tracks because they always seem to have one big rut going into turn one, getting the cars very upset. Qualifying, always fun to watch on that. Again, Gio Selzy pocketing $10,000 last night in that event. Very, very good to see the World of Outlaws returning to California after a two-year absence. All right, man, now we're going over to Formula E and Formula One. Formula E ain't for a few more weeks, but we do have Formula One coming up March 18th and 20th.
Yeah, so Formula One, I mean, their season really is going on, y'all. It's stuff where a lot of exciting things are going on for sure. So with Formula One, I mean, this weekend event is actually the Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix. So it's a 2020 event. So go out. I mean, there's national racing has been going for a good bit. So, of course, we're going to talk about NASCAR, NHRA, all the fun stuff. But Formula One, get their shine, too.
Absolutely, and good to see a little addition to that. We saw a lot of silly season news going on in Formula One. Mick is back behind the wheel with Haas, so that's really good to see down there. Of course, IndyCar coming up, too. They have another race at Texas Motor Speedway March 20th.
Yeah, no, IndyCar travels, man. They do some cool events. So it's the XPEL 375 at Texas Motor Speedway. It's going to be on NBC, so there's no excuse where you can't watch that bad boy. But it's going to be 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time. I always try to do that to help us out in New Mexico. But, yeah, IndyCar's out there and just more events that are planned up. And, shoot, NHRA's this weekend, my man.
Yeah. How do you feel about alligators?
I mean, I ain't trying to wrestle them or anything, but no, they're a good eating.
I think that these drivers in the NHRA are hungry for a gator this weekend as we have the NHRA Gator Nationals from Gainesville Raceway this weekend. Really big event. One of the fan favorites, too. Really kicks off the season in a really good way. I know that Steve Haydu, he was down at NHRA just last weekend down in Phoenix. It was good to hear about all the stuff that was going on there. Always a great event, too. Love seeing the Gator Nationals. Of course, you can catch that March 10th through the 13th. So
yeah,
today
full
and tomorrow.
Weekend, man. Full
tomorrow
weekend,
is the finals day. Now back to NASCAR. Of course, Camping World Truck Series not in action this weekend, but we are going to see them next weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Sure am, man. No, March 19th, they're going to be out there. It's going to be on FS1 at 12:30. I mean, cool events out there. But this weekend, being Phoenix Raceway, of course, we're talking to John Haverland a little later on. But today is going to be that LS Tractor 200 for Xfinity. So that's going to be a 2:30 race on FS1. And Xfinity, man, I've been hearing more news from that than I ever have this year. I mean, they
absolutely
are rolling.
I mean, the Xfinity series for a while has been one of the more exciting series to watch. In part due to kind of the, I hate to say it, but less exciting package that the NASCAR Cup Series was using the last couple of years. But it was kind of good, too, because it put a lot of eyes on this NASCAR Xfinity Series. And the whole idea about the series is names are made here. And that's been exactly what's been happening. I mean, you've been hearing a lot about Noah Gragson. He's been getting some huge push. Daniel Hemric, last year's champion, making his return to Phoenix with a new team with Colleg Racing in the number 11 car this weekend. And, of course, Joe Gibbs Racing's number 18, Trevor Bayne, making his return to Phoenix Raceway in more than 4 years. A lot of storylines in that Xfinity series to follow later on this afternoon.
Man, and just, I mean, I'm ready for it, dude. I mean, Xfinity is something I'm actually catching up on. And then, of course, I mean, the big boys down in NASCAR, man. I mean, the Ruoff Mortgage 500 is going to be March 13th. So that's going to be tomorrow on Fox at 1:30. So good afternoon racing out there. Enjoy some Phoenix Raceway action.
Absolutely. And, of course, we got to thank Unser Racing Museum for bringing you that Unser Racing Museum event calendar. RJ, appreciate that, too. I'm going to keep you on for the next segment as well. We're going to just download all we can about all the racing info we can bring you guys in the next half hour. Halfway through here for the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Of course, if you want to go down to the Unser Racing Museum, they are open again down there at the Unser Discovery Campus on 1776 Montaño Road Northwest. Got a whole lot more coming up on the other side and maybe a special guest. You don't want to change that dial. You're watching the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio.
101.7 The Team.
Hey, Albuquerque. This is Daniel Hemric. You're listening to New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swoke on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
16 Chevy Camaro for Colleg Racing. You are listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swoke on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Yearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
And thank you for that, AJ Almendinger. AJ going to be doing double duty this weekend at Phoenix Raceway. Really looking forward to seeing how he does in that new cup car. Going to be interesting down there. First time at Phoenix Raceway for that. Before we get started with our special guest, I want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by Yearwood Performance. Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been the home for Go Fast Parts, giving you the edge on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it, fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories, including the largest selection of hoses and fittings. Torco Racing Fuel is also ready to go in convenient 5-gallon cans with 13 different blends. Of course, fuel getting kind of hard to find right now, RJ. It's kind of crazy right now. But Yearwood Performance, New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, located at 341 Eubank. Buy local, save time and money, yearwoodperformance.com. And now I want to introduce special guest. It's been a while since he's been on the show. Steve Haydu, what are you doing this morning, buddy?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. So, full disclosure, he was texting me just a couple minutes before I threw him on the show, saying, "Why don't you invite me on anymore?" And, man, I guess that's a mystery, but you're on right now, buddy. I know you just came back from NHRA. Been really busy the last few weeks. Catch me up, man. What have you been up to?
Well, like you said, 2 weeks ago, we headed out to Phoenix to go watch the Wild Horse Pass NHRA drag races out there. Hung out there for 2 days, got to meet and greet a bunch of drivers, and hung out with Matt Hagen a little bit. Got to see Tony Stewart, but didn't get to go talk to him. Had to keep looking down to find him, if you know what I mean. But he's got a beautiful race crew going. Leah Pruitt, hung out with Leah Pruitt. Man, I tell you what, that's one pretty lady right there.
Yeah, is Leah taller than Tony?
I would hate to say so, yeah. Actually, I think Leah was actually taller than me, so I was kind of surprised about that.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you saw this, but Tony Stewart actually has one of his houses for sale. It's going for like $30 million and basically looks like a Bass Pro Shops down there in Indy. You got an extra $30 million you can throw me, Steve?
He's got to pay for this new race team he's got going because they're in full force. Hagen driving a funny car. I mean, man, he's got a whole new team going out there at NHRA, and it's just unbelievable. The trailers, the rigs, the team he's got going, that was insane. But it was cool talking with them. Got to hang out with John Forrest for a little bit. I'll tell you who the nicest one was, Alexis DeJorian. She was the nicest person you could ever talk to. Just hanging out on the golf court, waiting, because on Sunday morning they introduce all the drivers on a big stage before it starts there on the starting line, and they come out as they are paired up when they go down the track. And this is just pretty awesome, just hanging out with her and chatting away. It was pretty cool.
And another person kind of taking on a new role as not only a driver but an owner as well, Ron Capps, doing quite well working on his own. I know that's a lot of remnants of DSR, but how has Ron been doing kind of adapting to that new life?
Ron's doing quite well. He's got a hell of a team going there. During qualifying, I think he was great right there in the middle. And in the second round, he came up against, of course, John Forrest. So that was a hell of a funny car race. They side by side all down the track. John Forrest got him on a light, which is unbelievable for a 72-year-old. But John Forrest actually likes deep staging all the time, where you roll into the first beam, the second beam, and then you shut off the first beam. So that's what they call deep staging. So it kind of gives you an advantage off the starting line. And Ron Capps has cut a light of a 0.128. You can't be doing that when you're a professional, especially up against John Forrest, who cut, I think, a 0.58 light. And just got him on pure, just cutting the light, John Forrest got him at the end. So that was actually an intense race that day.
Yeah, and as you know, I just came back from Odessa, Texas.
Right.
And this was my first introduction to a lot of this new lingo, at least new to me in drag racing. A lot of deep staging going on at that no prep event. And then the word no prep, that would freak me out as a driver, of course, on the dirt track side. Can you explain a little bit what no prep versus prep is in drag racing terms?
No prep, when you go to a no prep race, what they prep the track at the very beginning of the race. They get out there, they clean the track, and do what they need to do on it. But that's the only time they do that. And they never go back and prep the track again. So the advantage goes to, I would say, the first two pairing that goes up down the track because you have a fresh track. And throughout the day, they're not prepping the track. They're not cleaning it. They're not laying the rubber back down. They're not putting that VHT down. So you're actually relying on your suspension on your vehicle and driver control when you're going down the track. So it gets pretty squirrely, as you can tell. Some of these cars get sideways and actually come close to crossing the center line and maybe even hitting the other car. But, man, they dig that because some of the video I watched, man, there's people go crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely insane. I mean, this is the most wrecks I've ever seen in a drag strip. Just on the first day alone, I think I probably saw close to a dozen people either spin out, hit the wall, cross the center stripe. I mean, that's right. Something that I'm not used to seeing in drag racing at all. So to see that was very unusual for me, but that makes sense. So as a driver, what can you even do to your car to make it hook up better? I mean, I know there's a lot of things that you can do to prep your tires suspension-wise, but as a driver, I mean, what are the first couple things that you're looking on to help hook up?
Well, you kind of your official burnout, of course, they do. You want to make sure you lay back down in the same patch. You just laid some rubber down. Scope out the track, definitely. And it's actually a lot of driver skill, to tell you the truth. And you can do some suspension to it. If you're running certain torque converters, You can change the torque converter to where it won't, it doesn't lock up as soon as you want to. Maybe on a 60-foot, it'll start locking up better. That way your tires aren't spinning. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few stuff to do, but it's just crazy how these guys go out there. And like you said, some of them crash, hit the wall. I mean, that's a lot of money you're out there doing. And it's a new thing, as you can tell. It's definitely spectators come out to watch that. It's sometimes you see more people watching that than you do at some of these NHRA sportsman events out there.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I could tell that a lot of the drivers were nervous about it. I mentioned earlier in the show, James Mosier took the Black Pearl down there. Beautiful car. But he elected not even to run on Friday due to high winds and also the track just being overall dirty and a lot of drivers having issues getting all the way down. Unfortunately, he had more issues on Saturday. He blew an oil line and was basically DQ'd from the event. It was kind of a lose-lose situation, very frustrating for that driver.
Yeah, that'd be frustrating. Yeah, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Our local boy ran out of Corrales here. Yeah.
It is, and that car was so beautiful, too. Of course, he was in the big tire division. They had big tire and small tire racing there, and also trucks and, I believe, street vehicles, too. What's the difference between the small tire and the big tire division? And can you run the same car running a big tire and a small tire? Can you kind of swap?
As far as I know, I think you can. I'm not really much into the different classes, but as I know a few guys that go down there and do that style, they that's about all they're doing is changing the tires. And you guys are running 10-inch slicks on these 1,200 horsepower motors, and that's just insane. I don't know, a few of the cars I see, they use like a 14-inch rim, they put a 12-inch and put a 10-inch tire. I mean, it's just insane. It bellows and blows the tire way out, kind of like a lowrider tire, but it's a big slick. And they don't get that many passes on some of those small tires either, if you've noticed that, because they do wear out quicker.
Yeah, I did notice that. Of course, it was cool to see a lot of the bigger names, too. A lot of the Street Outlaws guys coming down to Penwell's Knights Raceway down there last weekend. In fact, Big Booty Judy, a lot of people might recognize that name, taking the overall
win. Big
Booty
Judy. Some people get nervous to race against that one.
In fact, my girlfriend's dad, George Plant, was up against him, and he, unfortunately, after a rough Friday night, he elected not to run that race. But
I don't think they allow wheelie bars in those classes. Am I correct about that?
In the small tire class, you cannot run a wheelie bar. No.
Yeah. That's insane. I mean, the cars are pulling wheel stands, you know. I mean, it's great for spectators, but not for a car owner, you know.
Absolutely. And we are working on getting George Plant on the show here in the next couple of weeks to talk about that. Of course, just really fascinating to me, Steve. It's cool for me to go over and check out some of the racing that you fall in love with, man. But before I let you go, we're coming up on another break. I got to hear, man, what do you think about this new NASCAR, the next-gen car?
The new car. To tell you the truth, I've watched a few races. In the very beginning, they had some issues with them. But, I mean, I don't know, I'm still out on it. I mean, you're the one on the opinion on that. But
Absolutely. Well, what do you got going on later on this year, man? You got a schedule going on? Are we going to see you at Albuquerque Dragway?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, of course, David talked to Connie at Rio Rancho last week. We got the big Park in the Park car show coming up on April 23rd over by the event center. That'll be probably one of the biggest major event kickoff car shows with a carnival, kids game, indoor, outdoor car show inside the event center and outside. And then coming up in June, of course, Father's Day weekend. Got two shows Father's Day's weekend at Sagebrush Church on a Saturday. They're off course, like they always do, free food and stuff going on. And also on Father's Day Sunday, the annual car show out in Edgewood, New Mexico. That's been going on. I think he's on his 20th year now. Gets over 400 cars out there in Edgewood. So those three shows are going on. Rumor is there'll probably maybe be a Halloween car show out there, or possibly here locally. So plans are in the works for a big Halloween car show at the end of the year. But we got a whole spring and summer to keep an eye on everything going on.
Love to hear it. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you joining the show this morning. We'll have you in the studio soon.
All right. Appreciate the call. Y'all have a good day.
All right, that was Steve Haydu with Cruising with the Oldies. Love talking to Steve. Good to hear from him, man. Good to see he has a lot going on here car show-wise coming up in the next couple of weeks. Stay tuned, because on the other side, we're going to go down to Phoenix Raceway and hear all about what's going on today with the NASCAR Xfinity Series and tomorrow with the NASCAR Cup Series. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio.
101.7, the team.
Hey, Albuquerque, this is Joey Logano, driver of number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford, and you're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report with David Swope on ESPN Radio Albuquerque 101.7.
David Swope on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
The pit stop is over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on Facebook and at nmmotorsportsreport.com. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Gearwood Performance, Albuquerque Dragway, the Unser Racing Museum, and Swope Real Estate. Here is David.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Of course, Spencer Hill filling in for David Swope this morning here on this last 15 minutes of our show. We got a special guest, though, all the way from Phoenix Raceway in Avondale, Arizona, John Haverland. How you doing this morning, bud?
Doing well, Spence. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, John. A lot going on, I know, both in your personal life and also on the racing front. But what have you been up to?
Yeah, so it's been busy, definitely. I haven't missed the NASCAR weekend yet. I was at the Clash. I was at the Daytona 500. I was in Fontana. I was in Vegas. And now here I am at my home track of Phoenix. So I'm happy to be here because I know when I leave the track tonight, I'll be sleeping in my own bed.
That's the best part right there. I think you nailed that right on the head. So I got to start with last night, very emotional night down there at the track with the ARCA Menard Series. Of course, Taylor Gray putting it in victory lane for David Gilliland Racing with some very, very heavy hearts with some specific names over the name rail of that car. Can you just catch us up on what kind of a hellacious week the David Gilliland Racing team has been through?
Yeah, so it was definitely a somber start to the week. For the NASCAR and the ARCA community. If you haven't followed up with the story, Stephen Stotts, who is one of David Gilliland Racing's hauler drivers, was killed in an accident while they were on the freeway in Longview, Texas. They were transporting Taylor Gray's car to Phoenix Raceway. That was where they were headed. And there was a discussion about maybe they shouldn't race that weekend, but David Gilliland Racing decided ultimately to have Gray race, and sure enough, he wins the race. So it's really about as good of a feel-good story from something so tragic to happen. So it was definitely an emotional night for those team members and even for the fans of David Gilliland.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that story to light. Really appreciate that as well. So first up this morning over there in your neck of the woods, we have Xfinity practice and qualifying. And this is something that we've seen change around a lot in the last 2 years. But we're seeing basically a back-to-back show here now with both Xfinity and the Cup Series with 20 minutes for two groups, at least as the Cup Series goes. Can you kind of explain what the drivers have had to go through to change their approach to the weekend? You know, last year we were coming to the track and it was just you unload and you figure out what starting spot you're at, no practice, no qualifying, straight to the race. But now you have a little bit of time, at least, to figure out what's going on with the car. How has that changed everybody's approach to the weekend?
Well, I think it's changed people's approach in the sense that they're going back to what it used to be. You know, even these younger drivers who maybe haven't had that much experience qualifying and practicing at the national level of NASCAR, when they were racing late models or whatever they were racing before they got to NASCAR, they were used to practicing and qualifying. So I feel like it's more like they're returning to what they're used to. And then obviously the veteran guys who have been doing this for a while, this is also the same kind of concept for them. This is something that they're used to again. Obviously 2020 and 2021, when there was no qualifying, no practice, just racing, it was a little unusual, I think, for everyone. I think even fans, industry people, it was just something that was kind of dealt our way. But now that things are starting to return to normal, I think the drivers are starting to feel more comfortable with that, and they maybe feel a little more confidence knowing that they can adjust their cars throughout the weekend instead of just taking the green flag for race day.
Absolutely. And with three different race winners in the NASCAR Cup Series and the top 10 drivers in the standings separated by just 35 points or less, I think it's easy to say that this is one of the most competitive starts of the year that we've ever seen in the sport. I've seen a lot of statistics all over Twitter that's backing that story up there. But when we come into Phoenix, we see a lot of green flag runs typically. That might change as we go into the race tomorrow. What are your thoughts about just the switch from here we used to see all these long green flag runs, especially at tracks like Las Vegas last weekend, to now it's hard to get a green flag run in? I mean, teams are really having to focus on short run speed.
Yeah, you know, it's a little hard to predict because obviously the cars have been tricky for the drivers since the start of the season. Then again, Phoenix is it's not the fastest track on the circuit. It's a mile long, and the speeds aren't going to be as high as what you might expect at Auto Club Speedway or Las Vegas. It doesn't mean this isn't a tricky track, though. There's, each corner looks a little different than the next, so... teams will have their work cut out for sure. This is really the first time we're seeing racing at a track that isn't at least a mile and a half long, with the exception of the Clash, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be a little bit unpredictable, I think. But I think it's a good thing, though. I think you'll see drivers slipping and sliding around a bit in these cars, and it's going to, I hope it's an entertaining show. Phoenix has put on some pretty good races in recent years, so I don't have any reason to believe that won't continue this time around.
And another one of the more fascinating things about Phoenix Raceway, at least in the more recent years, is the fact that cars have been able to use a lot more of the racetrack as the surface wears down. I know that last year, at least for the championship race, NASCAR did go ahead and put down a little bit of resin in the top groove on both ends of the racetrack. What has NASCAR done this weekend to prep the racing surface?
I'm not going to lie, I didn't do my homework, and I don't know if that's the plan again this weekend. So I couldn't tell you yet, but I guess stay tuned. If you're at home watching on TV, watching qualifying practice, you'll be sure to find out whether that's the case or not, and I'll obviously be following along and learning just like the rest of you.
Absolutely. Another thing that has been so just surprising, I think, for a lot of race fans this year has been that we have seen three different race winners. And they have really not one of them have dominated the event. You see Austin Cindric in Daytona, Kyle Larson, California, Alex Bowman, of course, last weekend, nabbing that win in Las Vegas. What has been the most surprising story that you've pulled out of this season so far?
I think Austin Cindric for sure. We knew that he was in a fast car. We knew he's really been one of the most improved drivers in NASCAR for probably the last decade. I mean, you look at what he was doing in Xfinity 4 years ago, it just felt like he was wrecking every week. And now he's a Daytona 500 champion. He's still going to have some ups and downs in his first full season in the Cup Series. But I've been very impressed with the trajectory of his career, and I do think he is a future Cup Series champion. And you know what? I could see him doing pretty well this weekend. This has been a solid track for Team Penske. Joey Logano's won here before. Ryan Blaney's had some really good runs. There's no reason to think Cindric can't win here as well. And when you think about it, he almost had this race won last year in the Xfinity Series. Daniel Hemric just beat him out. And even the year before, Cindric was obviously the champion here.
Well, we're going to be keeping a pulse on that for sure throughout the entire weekend. John, I want to thank you again for coming on the show this morning. How can everybody follow up on your stories as well as the Circuit Journal?
Sure. So you can follow me on Twitter at John Haverill, and it's all one word, JohnHaverillin. And you can follow my work at thecircuitjournal.com. You can follow us on Twitter as well at Circuit Journal, all one word.
Really appreciate it, John. Enjoy the race today and tomorrow, and thank you again for joining us.
All right, awesome, Spence. Thanks for talking.
All right, once again, that's John Haverill with thecircuitjournal.com. And to wrap up today's show, keep in mind, racing today, Xfinity Series race coming on. Just in a couple hours, we got practice and qualifying coming up for both Xfinity and Cup. That all kicks off here in, it's just about 30 minutes. So make sure to check that out on FS1. And, of course, the Xfinity race coming up later on today at 2:30. And don't miss that NASCAR race day tomorrow as we see the Cup guys tackle the track for the first time. You can check that out at 1:30 local time. 9 sets of tires, including 1 set for qualifying's going to be really, really interesting to see how all that goes. You've been listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio.
101.7, The Team.